Welcome to the Outreach Mass. O my God, I come before you with all my restrictions and my pain. I ask you to have mercy on your servant. Be my companion in my sorrows, my hope in my anguish, and my friend in my joy. In this Outreach Mass, grant me the grace to hear your word and worship your Son at Holy Communion. Bless my neighbors. Bless those who provide the Outreach Mass. Bless the Diocese of Lansing and all who, through their prayers and support, make this televised Mass possible. We ask this through Christ our Lord. Amen. For those who are unable to receive Holy Communion today in person, let us pray a spiritual communion prayer and ask for the graces of the most holy and blessed sacrament. My Jesus, I believe that you are present in the most holy sacrament. I love you above all things, and I desire to receive you into my soul. Since I cannot at this moment receive you sacramentally, come at least spiritually into my heart. I embrace you as if you were already there and unite myself wholly to you. Never permit me to be separated from you. Amen.
One of the great themes of Christianity is the journey. Salvation, spirituality, it's more than some one and done transaction. We live in a dynamic universe. The universe is expanding and developing and growing. Stars are born, stars die. In our human experience, in the natural, biological world, we're growing. Sometimes we're little, sometimes we're older. But there's always something changing. And so it is in the spiritual life. Our modern world is so materialistic, it is often all too focused on what can be seen and touched and held tightly. And so our modern world is very spiritually minimalistic. It's very easy to reduce our Christianity to some sort of checklist. Have you accepted Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior? Says the person knocking on your door. Check. Did you get all your sacraments? As if you were taking the dog to the vet to get its shots. Check. Were you good? As if Santa's naughty or nice list is what brings you the kingdom. Check. It's impersonal, and it treats God like some sort of divine accountant weighing your balance sheet to see whether you're worthy enough. And it was never about us meriting or buying the stairway to heaven. God calls us because God loves us. And God chose to love us before we even existed to love him in return. No, the first commandment is not be good or merit the kingdom. The first commandment is simply love the Lord your God with everything you got, your whole heart, mind, soul, strength. Fall in love. And falling in love is a process. Falling in love is a journey. It takes time. The beauty of a long journey is you get to know your companions on the journey, sometimes a little bit too well. But out of that vulnerability is born affection. Even as we celebrate Mass, our church reminds us this is a journey. Sure, we're going to pause for a minute to worship, to pray, to enjoy God's presence in word and sacrament, but it's a journey. We process in and we process out. And the priest is wearing a traveler's cloak. This chasuble is meant to be a traveler's cloak. Don't get too comfortable. This isn't the end. Are we at the kingdom? No, then keep moving. This is an oasis. That's nice, but you don't get to stay there. It's a journey. If we haven't grown to love God completely with all our whole heart, mind, soul, and strength, then the journey continues. Have we converted completely? No. then the journey continues. Have we come to witness the faith to our brothers and sisters as disciples of Christ? There's room for improvement. Okay, the journey continues, etc. That theme of the journey we see all throughout salvation history, going way back to Father Abraham, our father in faith, for so many nations and great religions. The Lord took Father Abraham from his city and moved him hundreds of miles west across the Middle East to show him the promised land, a land that would be promised to his offspring many, many, many generations later. The Lord took him on a journey and revealed himself to Abraham by that journey. One of the most famous journeys that we go back to time and time again as we read the scriptures is the journey of the Exodus. As the Lord took the people of Israel to himself and made a covenant with them, he brought them on a long journey in the wilderness, so he had them all to himself. And yes, technically, you can cross the desert in a matter of days, a matter of weeks, if all we're talking is the straightest line between Egypt and the Promised Land. Why did it take 40 years? Because they weren't ready to enter. It wasn't a journey of distance, it was a journey of the heart. They needed to become God's people. They were rebellious, they were stiff-necked, they had their own ideas. So often they were willing to return to slavery and death in Egypt just so they could eat better and fill their stomachs. It was a journey, an interior journey of getting to know the Lord, coming to trust the Lord, and surrendering to God's will and God's ways. And isn't that what the journey of discipleship is? And we see it with the 12 apostles. Jesus walked with them. He talked with them. He journeyed with them for his 3 years of mission that begins after his baptism. And now we see a mature side of it. Here's Peter in our second reading talking about this. Now the Lord, through his baptism, has brought us into this journey of faith. He has saved us. Now suddenly Peter is confident in this. He understands what this is all about. He understands that when Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. He understands that Jesus is that journey, right? It is through him, with him, in him, in the unity of the Holy Spirit. Jesus is that journey. He is the way. He opens up the road back home to the kingdom. He opens the gates of heaven through the waters of baptism, that we die to sin and rise to new life. And our readings all point to that. Beautiful first reading. Could you talk about a greater fulfillment of prophecy? That late chapter of Isaiah speaks of the servant of the Lord. How will you know the servant of the Lord? Well, he will be chosen. The Father will be well pleased in him. He will be a light to the nations. He will open the eyes of the blind, which was something that didn't even happen in the Old Testament by the greatest of prophets. And he'll bring liberty to captives. Talk about a prophecy of fulfillment as Jesus is baptized by John, not because he needs the forgiveness of sins for himself, but that he might sanctify the waters of baptism for our sake, that he may open up a road, a path that leads to life through the waters of baptism into the family of God, into a relationship, into a way of life. Following Christ, imitating Christ, becoming more one with him so as to be Christ to others and ultimately dwell with him for all eternity in heaven. And it is most appropriate that this all happens in the context of the Christmas season, even though technically the baptism of the Lord really is the beginning of mission. It's right on that edge of the end of Christmas season and the beginning of ordinary time, time ordered for mission. And I always find it ironic and funny that we just celebrated in the church calendar Jesus being born. We celebrated his infancy 2 weeks ago. and suddenly he's a 30-year-old man stepping into the public limelight for mission. My, how they grow up so quickly. You ever feel that with your kids and grandkids? My goodness, where did that time go? 2 weeks later, and he's grown and he's out for public ministry. But there is this juxtaposition that at Christmas, Christ is born through us into the world, into the human family, into our human nature, through the Blessed Mother properly, who gives flesh to the Word of God. But through our world, Christ is born into our world. And then, now as we conclude the Christmas season, Christ offers a rebirth, a new birth. Behold, I make all things new, as he says in the book of Revelation. And we are now born again through him, by his grace, by his gift of the Holy Spirit, into a new family, the family of God, to inherit the universe, to inherit all of eternity. What a juxtaposition of births. Christ is born among us so we can be born again through Christ and regain the image and likeness of God, male and female, in which we were created, male and female, from the very beginning, but which was corrupted and wounded by sin. We can be born again to new life, elevated, sanctified by divine life and grace, especially as we celebrate this Eucharistic mystery, that you are what you eat. As we come to the table of the Lord, we come to be nourished. We need food for the journey. When people are going home to the Lord in their final days, the church brings them the Eucharist, and we call it viaticum, food for the journey, the via, the way, for the journey back home, the way to eternal life. And as we're all one day closer to eternity, whatever that might be, whenever that might be, we come on our way to receive he who is the way, the truth, and the life, to become one with him, to be nourished by his divine life, to become more like him each and every day, to follow him more securely, and to love him, and to share that love with those we meet each day. It's not just a singular event or a single transaction. Heaven knows it's not a checklist, thank God. It's a relationship of love, and a love that grows through the journey. May this new year be a journey that we commit to each and every day, to walk with the Lord, to pray, to worship, to give our lives over to Christ, and to learn from him, especially as we read the scriptures, to imitate him, to share our friendship with him, with all those we meet. And may we all come to the fullness of the kingdom in our own good time. Amen.